Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And that is launched out to deep left field. Big fly for Mike Trout. This is ground ball to second base. Brent Hinkle falls down, picks it up, fires the first. The Angels have no hit. The Seattle Mariners. It's gone. Big fly for Anthony Rendon.
Hey guys, I'm Alex Curry.
This is Joe Adele here with the Los Angeles Angels. This is
Brendan Marsh.
This is Chris Rodriguez.
You're listening to the All Angels Podcast.
And welcome to another edition of the All Angels Podcast. I am Dan Garcia and I'm joined, of course,
by the curator.
And we are in Halo Haven, changing up the background a little bit. So if you're watching us on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter, we're on the other side of Halo Haven, and we're surrounded by a lot of the curator's collection. So another angle we thought was pretty cool to just try it out in these stadium seats, and we'll get to those later during the Chronicle. So we're here to review the KC series. Obviously not the series the Angels wanted to have for a lot of different reasons. And obviously the injuries played a big part of it, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But let's dive into the games first. So Monday was the first game of the series at Kansas City. Clear skies, which I was here that Saturday game where they're in Dunedin and nothing but rain. So just the fact the weather was clear had to make you feel at least a little better.
Yeah, man, things were looking up. Clear skies, game. No delay in the game.
No delay. You knew it was going to start on time.
Yeah, man, it was looking pretty promising. Overall, the last, I think, 5 years, we've had a winning record against KC.
Right.
Even though we don't think so because
the of that traumatic
2014.
I was gonna say the traumatic experience.
But I think we still have a little PTSD from that. But overall, we fare pretty well in Kansas City. Guys hit well. Trout hits well. Going back to even like the Trumbo days. He mashed a bunch of balls in the waterfall during that
home run derby,
yep, off the Royals Hall of Fame. So we do well there. Not so much.
I mean, it started off really well. It did. So we'll go Monday at Kansas City again. And it kind of got started on this weird kind of sack fly that, you know.
Won the count to Rojas. Drive out to left center field, rather, that chases Taylor. He'll make the catch. Walsh advancing to third, and it's a good thing it was an errant throw. Here he comes trying to score. Throw to the plate, gets away from Perez. Yikes!
Two runs come across.
And just like that, the Angels are 2-0. So Jared Walsh advances on a sack fly from second to third. The throw gets away from the third baseman. He comes home. Now the third baseman is trying to throw him out, or I think it was the pitcher backing up, trying to throw him out at home. That ball gets away, and Upton comes in behind him, and they're up 2-0.
Yeah, classic Little League play right there.
Man. Yeah, and then kind of, you know, going back to when they were in Florida playing the Blue Jays, finally, like, one of those kind of Little League plays actually benefited
works
the Angels
in our favor. Yeah, we're exactly. not the one running
on the other end of it. Yeah. So they're up 2-0 early.
And that was Rojas hitting that sack fly. So even though at that point he still is hitless for his young career, he still got that sack fly productive outs like we've been talking about.
Right. So, I mean, and then that's kind of a theme that we'll be playing throughout this series. Right now, it's working out great. And going into the sixth, the Angels are up 4-0. And Alex Cobb ran into a little trouble here in the sixth inning, but he did great for the Angels this outing. And you kind of mentioned it a little bit. We were texting back and forth during the game, but he just seemed so smooth.
Yeah, he wasn't throwing hard.
Right.
Like, I mean, come on. It's still hard.
It's hard to me or you.
Yeah, I'm striking out. But yeah, it was just effortless. And it was just smooth. It was under control. He felt like he had confidence out there. And that ball, the bottom of that ball, like I think I said to you, was just dropping off.
Yeah, and exactly. Yeah,
man, he was hitting like, you know, low to mid 90s tops. And I think he just like with Madden, and that reconnection,
Hopefully it's that simple. Yeah.
And this word's being thrown out a lot now, but like that's vintage Cobb there.
Yeah. Oh,
even though he's been in the league for 10 years.
Yeah. Vintage Cobb. Vintage, right? But like also too, we talked about it before. He went up the drive line, learned some things there. And as of right now, it looks like it's really translating over into the season, which, you know, coming into it, Cobb, what are we going to get out of him? You know, Quintana still having a rough go of it. What are we going to get out of him? He kind of already can Bundy repeat it, but it looks like honestly, Cobb and Bundy are your top two guys right now. And that
Orioles right there.
Yeah, you know. Exactly.
And like when we got Cobb, everyone's just like, oh my gosh, this guy? Why do we give up Jamai Jones for, Cobb and all this stuff? And we like Jamai's a friend of the podcast. Yeah. But still thinking about our depth chart, like I don't think Jamai was going to see.
Right. I mean, maybe now with all the injuries.
Yeah, he might be playing third base right now. But yeah. He's been smooth. I like it. I think behind Bundy, he's our number two right now.
Right. I would definitely see it because you've seen it a couple times now. From Cobb, you saw a good outing last time from Haney in Florida, and now this upcoming weekend in back here in Anaheim, you hope you see another one, and that kind of will solidify it. But yeah, I definitely think you're right. Cobb is definitely that second guy. But he went 5 2/3, 4 hits, 3 runs, 1 walk, 10 strikeouts, and the thing was what they were calling that splitter. Bluey kept on calling it the thing.
The thing. Hey, that's so pretty dope.
There you go.
Pitch called the thing.
Right. And then two, you know, it says 3 earned runs on his line, but I don't know how you feel about it, but he only gave up 1 run while he was in. He got into a little trouble, like I was saying. I forgot what reliever came in, gave up those 2 other runs. Do you like the fact that those runs go onto the pitcher before, or do you think they should go onto the pitcher that actually gave it up?
Well, it's always been the case.
Right. No, you're right. It's always been the case.
It's nothing new, but do I like it? Like, if you're a pitcher.
Well, I'm saying, like, if you were – like lord of the rules or lord of the stats, like, would I you think change it
like a partial run,
like a half a run?
Yeah, because you put him on, but the next guy gave it up,
right?
You know,
and because too, if your bullpen guy behind you is lights out, then you can give him a bases loaded, no out situation. But if he gets out of it, you look like it was nice and easy for you.
Now, there's got to be some like little happy medium, this little middle position on that. I don't like it because his performance and his stat line was much better than 3 earned runs.
Than 3 earned runs, sure. Exactly, yeah. So, again, after the 6, Angels are still up 4-3, so obviously that lead kind of tightened a little bit, and you get kind of worried about what's going to happen with the Angels. You kind of see the momentum building for KC, and when Shohei does this.
Here's the 1-1 to Ohtani. And that's hit well into the corner. That'll rattle around and right and clear the bases. One too many fastballs against Shohei Ohtani.
Ohtani has been on an absolute tear recently. It feels like making hard contact with every ball he hits. This one was measured at 119 miles per hour off the bat, which is the hardest hit ball this year. You just wish he got the exit or the angle a little higher and
launch angle, baby.
Exactly. But that's crazy.
I think I saw some stat that since that stat has been Statcast.
Right.
I don't know. It's like in the top 5 of the last like.
Chris is our old curmudgeon, old guy. I remember back in the day.
Sabermetrics.
Yeah, exactly. Chris is not.
Yeah, but 119 miles an hour. That's impressive. Yeah. That ball just shot out. Like I felt like I was looking at this, like at the TV. I turned away from a second, then all of a sudden the score changed, and I'm like, I don't know what happened. That right fielder, I don't even think he had a moment. Like I think he dropped back, maybe like on his back leg and then it hit the wall, and he's
unless it's hit right at you, there's no way you're getting to that ball or even cutting it off before it gets to the wall, because that thing was just, like you mentioned, just humming down there in the right field corner. But they end the seventh inning up 7-3. Ohtani stays hot with another RBI double, and then right after that, this man comes to the plate.
And Trout gets a hold of one into the corner and left, and he got it! Homers in 10 straight! 2-run shot for Trout!
We're not worthy! We're not worthy!
So, yeah, so Trout home runs, extending that 10-game home run streak as a team, which is, you know, every game this season. I think at the time, well, I know at the time it was best in the league, and I think it was either tied or had the record for most home run, like a most home run streak by a team in Major League Baseball, which is creative. And it came late. There was a little drama about it.
Yeah, and if you're watching, you know,
the broadcast, watching the
broadcast
with Maddie V,
he predicted that, right? Right
before
he was putting it out there into the universe.
What was it? The reverse broadcaster jinx or whatever?
Yeah, yeah. Like where the goalie has not given up a home run. So he put it out there. Next pitch, a pretty safe bet when you put it out there with Trout, you know, late heroics and stuff like that. So, it was cool. It worked. And we, you know, kept that streak going.
Here we go. So 10-game home run streak. Angels win it 10-3. Obviously behind the bat of not only Trout, but Ohtani goes 3-for-5 in this game with 3 RBIs and 2 runs. You know, the pitching thing hopefully does come back around. Hopefully he is able to pitch again, and all reports are saying that everything's going good in that aspect. But the way he's producing offensively, it's kind of like, I don't want to say not a big deal if he doesn't pitch, but I mean, wow, he's offensively just killing the ball right now.
Yeah, I remember a preseason podcast where we kind of talked about what would you rather have, Ohtani pitching or Ohtani hitting, if you had to choose one. And I think you and Mike Brown, a big league chewing, you guys said, I'd rather see him pitch because it's harder to come by a pitcher throwing 100 miles an hour. Yeah. While I agree with that, I feel like you're saying a little bit like, I'm fine with him just hitting every day and being the DH.
I mean, but if this going, is the alternate, yeah.
He's going 3-for-5 every day with a home run, a double.
3 RBIs.
I mean.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, we'd rather, like you said, rather see him pitching because of the fact that it's hard to get like a frontline ace type of guy. But if this is second place, I mean,
yeah, like he was like tied for the league in stolen bases, hardest hit, exit velocity.
Yeah, it's like between him and Trout, it's going back and forth, who can hit it the hardest. It's
just like insane right now.
So that was Monday. All good times, feeling good. Like I mentioned, 10-3. You know, this offense is rolling, and then comes Tuesday. Tuesday night was a good game.
Well, first came Saturday, which you already touched on.
Yeah, I'll get to my thoughts about Saturday at the end of the series. But so here comes Tuesday. Bundy comes with the start. And like we mentioned, between him and Cobb, it seems like they are the top two guys. I believe it was Daniel Duffy, or I don't remember his first name. But anyways, he was on the mound for Kansas City. And I thought it was going to be a pitching duel. And it kind of, that's exactly what it turned out to. Bundy struggled a little bit in the first with his command, it seemed like, and we were texting back and forth like, oh, this might be one of those games where he just struggles and isn't able to put it all together.
Yeah, I think he put up almost 30 pitches in the first.
Yeah, like 26, 30, yeah.
You're on like a trajectory where you're out like by the third.
Right, exactly.
And so you texted me that, and I haven't even put on the game yet. I'm like, oh great.
In the first inning, yeah.
And I turned it on, it's only, you know, one, down by one, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, he gets up one in the first.
Yeah, he righted the ship for sure.
Yeah, exactly. He settles down. He ends up going 7 innings.
He actually went, I think, one more than Duffy.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah,
which is crazy.
Well, because two Kansas City had a thing where they were like, at a certain point, they were swinging early a lot, and I think like two innings were, it was like under 10 pitches.
Yeah.
So that for a guy that struggled in the first inning and his pitch count was way up, that definitely helped. But he went 7 innings pitch, 5 hits, 3 runs, 2 of them earned, and we'll show the one that wasn't earned, and yeah, that was bad. 6 strikeouts, but a really good, again, Bundy type of outing for the Angels. And before I go any further, there was a lot of roster moves before this game, and we'll get to that in after end of this. But yeah, I mean, Bundy settled down, and when you have a guy that doesn't seem like to have his stuff early, but it's able to give you those numbers, as an Angel fan, it doesn't seem like we've had that for a while.
No.
Yeah.
Of course not.
So, here's that one unfortunate pop-up that we were talking about. This is the one unearned run.
And here comes the pitch. And he was jammed and fights that one off. Pops it up near home plate. The catcher, Suzuki, has the ball pop out of his glove.
So, Whit Merrifield up the bat, Obviously pops it up. You saw that. You heard that with Suzuki. Not able to catch the pop-up in foul territory. And it wasn't even that far. It wasn't like he had to run far or anything. It was literally just barely outside the batter's box.
Suzuki's catch is at 99 out of 100 times. And that one time he misses it, and I think that was the game changer.
That was where the momentum shift.
He gets on.
He comes around. I think he gets on. He's still second. And then someone gets a hit, and he comes back around, and that's an extra run right there. And with the game finishing 3-2,
yeah.
I mean, exactly. That's a big, huge difference in that, and that's unfortunate. But it just seems like you knew this game was so tightly contested that something like that was going to happen one way or the other, and that was going to be the difference. But in the fifth, Ohtani at it again.
Duffy has not allowed a hit since the end of the second, that is. And he's allowed only one base runner on the two-out walk to Suzuki last inning. Did Shohei get him? Get going to right and gone! The superhero does it again.
Ohtani hits a bomb. And then, too, if you watch that back, he kind of slow plays it out of the batter's box. And this is like we were talking about before, this whole new Ohtani and his little, I don't want to say like attitude, but maybe like a little swag.
Yeah, I think he's been hanging out in the U.S. too long or something. Yeah, the old Ohtani where, you know, very traditional, it's gone. Waving bye-bye to home
runs. That was awesome, yeah.
You know, mad dog in the pitcher.
Yeah,
I like it, man.
I mean, it was great. That's awesome to see. And so obviously that brings the score to 1-2. Angel still down by one, and then the Kurt pop up happens, and so that brings the score to 3-1, and now you're back chasing two. Kurt ends up getting a sack fly in the eighth inning and brings the score to 3-2. And then Trout this game, and we talked about it a little before we started recording, not a Trout type of game. I mean, we're talking about four strikeouts. I mean, to me, I can't remember if that ever happened with Trout.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just unheard of. So,
you're saying we should trade him, right?
Yeah. Let's get him out. Yeah.
Let's trade him.
He's no longer the best player in baseball.
Straight up for Kershaw.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. obviously, we're being kidding. We don't want anyone to like hit up our DMs and be like, oh, you guys are horrible, or give us a 1-star rating on the podcast, because we're looking for 5 stars only. So, if you're out there, rate and review. But coming into the ninth inning, you get the situation you wanted. You're down by one. Trout comes up with two on. And like we mentioned, strikes out. Okay, no big deal. You're down two now, or you have two outs. Albert comes up, walks. So now your base is loaded. Two outs. Jared Walsh, who has had a really good season so far.
Actually, if you ask me who I'd rather have up there at that moment, Walsh or Trout, I almost would say Walsh, just based on the season. I'm wanting Walsh or Ohtani up there in that situation.
Right. Definitely not
Walsh. Historically, Trout, of course. And it was actually kind of crazy that we were still in that game.
At that point,
with all the men left on base.
Oh, like, there were so many guys left on base.
I don't even know the number off the top of my head. I have to say at least 9.
Mm-hmm.
I think they said almost every inning we had two guys on.
Oh, it wasn't just this either. It was in the series that it just seemed like, or at least in the two games where they lost, they had a ton of guys left on base.
Be in that game was, I was kind of surprised, and I'm like, oh, we could win this.
And this was definitely a game where Kansas City cashed in on those, because they were getting like hit for hit with the Angels, but they were getting that extra hit. Mm-hmm. To get guys around. The Angels were getting guys on. You had so many times where it was like second and third, two outs. Oh, we just need a single to get.
What they were doing is what we've been doing all year.
Right, all year long. And
I'm like, okay, we're waiting for that.
Exactly.
We're waiting for those eighth inning heroics, the ninth inning. And it just
didn't happen. I'm sure you can
play that clip right now.
Yeah, exactly. So again, bases loaded, two outs. Jared Walsh is at the plate, and this is what happens.
Loaded, and Jared Walsh will be the batter. Salvi throws down to third. What a way to end the game!
So for you that aren't watching on our YouTube page, pretty much what happens is that ball's in the dirt. Hits Perez in the chest protector. Looks like it's going to get away from him. Hits Jared Walsh, so it stops right there in front of the plate. And at this point, David Fletcher, who is on third, is breaking the home to tie the game, which if it doesn't hit Jared, and we were talking about this before the podcast, if it doesn't hit Walsh, it gets away from him. And there's a really good chance that Fletcher, because if he had such a good jump and that actually hurt him this time, he gets in there to tie the game.
Yeah, Fletcher's a hero.
Oh, yeah. Fletcher, that Mr. Grit, and it adds to his mantle of a
But the old adage in baseball is don't make the first or last out at third base. And that's what he did.
Yeah, exactly. So it hits Jared Walsh right in front, and it ends up right in front of the plate. Perez has enough, he's a veteran, so he knows what's happening right now. Has
five or six time gold glove.
Oh, I think even more than that. Has the presence of mind to pick it up and throw it to third, guns out Fletcher getting back, and that's how the game ended.
And they reviewed it. And then if you saw that in real time, it was like, oh, gosh.
Really? You thought so in real time? Oh, like bang, bang?
Oh, yeah.
I honestly didn't
think there's a chance. You have to review it last
play. Right.
Game's over.
I mean, I didn't think it was such a slam dunk right away, but once they showed that first replay, I'm like, oh yeah, it's not even close. And so you even see there's a camera on Ohtani, because Ohtani wasn't moving from second base, and I'm guessing they played it on the big screen out there in Kansas City, because he's looking up, and then next thing you know, he shakes his head like, yep, and then just walks back to the dugout. And then, unfortunately, that does it for the Angels in this game. A tough game, 3-2. A lot of, like Chris mentioned, a lot of missed opportunities, a lot of chances to get guys in when they're on base. I mean, Trout strikes out four times. I don't know if I ever seen that or if anything has ever happened. It just seemed like a very kind of fluky game, because Bundy dealt was great, and then just the bullpen came in and held it down. But we just couldn't get that extra hit, and we just couldn't get Ohtani up enough to do it. But they dropped one of the series, and obviously it's a three-game series, so you're looking for a series win today, afternoon game Wednesday. Griffin Canning on the mound. And last time we talked, or I talked about it when we reviewed the Blue Jay series, Canning had a rough first inning, came out, and then settled down after that and pitched really well. So it would be interesting to see how he does now. Canning goes five innings pitched, six hits, only two earned runs, two walks, and five Ks. But unfortunately, when he left, Chris Rodriguez came in, friend of the podcast, gets out of the first inning fine, gets into a little trouble the inning after that, ends up giving a couple. Salvi Perez was a home run guy. I mean, he absolutely killed the Angels in this series. Bullpen comes in also and gives up another home run. And next thing you know, it is a 6-1 loss for the Angels. And it's just, again, one of those things where you feel like, I don't know. And this is kind of like what I was talking about before, is that we are in a situation where the Florida game, to me, played a big part of this, just because of the fact that the Saturday game was so hard. I mean, Chris were here watching it or trying to watch it before the rain delay actually finished. And I just wonder, I think they were tired. Like, honestly, I think they were tired. That game, even though for us it was on a normal day or normal like time, like 7 o'clock, that was East Coast. They didn't get done till 1 o'clock. They get up the next day because
they got up because they
didn't know.
I mean, they had to get up and prepare for like a 10 a.m. start,
right?
East Coast, and which didn't happen, but they still had to be there.
Yeah, they still get ready. And so the official
difference, they're not chilling at the hotel or whatever. So they're there, they're in uniform, sure, just like hanging out in the dugout, whatever.
And that's like, from when the game ended, I can't remember exactly, but it had to be around like 1 o'clock their time. And then
get back, settle down.
And then for like a 1 o'clock.
That's 3 o'clock.
Right? For like a 1 o'clock. And then for a 1 p.m. game the next day, they're getting there maybe an hour or two before the game. I mean, they had to be run down at the end of this road trip. And then, too, we're talking about Florida. I mean, I've never been, but the humidity.
Florida's weird.
The humidity, because of obviously the storm that was in the area, that had to take a toll on them. I mean, that's what I think. I'm not trying to sit here and make excuses, but I mean, It definitely doesn't seem like.
And they're playing in a weird park.
Yeah,
everything seems kind of weird. Man. It was like spring training 2.0.
Yeah.
They say all the weird things. Like, if you read a weird story of like something crazy happening, I remember K Rock, a local radio station, used to say, Florida or Germany? Where did this happen? And like weird stuff goes down in Florida. And let's just blame it on that.
Yeah, exactly. So
anyways, sorry.
But yeah,
in Florida and you're watching this, we love you.
Thank you very much.
Five star review.
Yeah, like exactly.
But yeah.
But kind of like what you were mentioning with the runners in scoring position, the Angels ended up being 0-for-9 with runners in scoring position this game. The Wednesday game with 9 left on base. So now if you add those from the 2 losses, now you're talking about 1-for-18 with runners in scoring position and 20 guys left on base in 2 games. I mean, that is not exactly the way you would want to win a game at all.
Well, yeah, you're not going to win a game if you end up
guys on base. Or 2 games.
If you want a game, like, that means the other team is not getting on base, or they're doing the same thing. So, I don't know. I don't know what else to say. Like, you're not cashing them in. You know, it's like you got the ducks on the pond, but you're not
baseball cliche.
Yeah, you like that. Had to throw that one in.
There you go.
Yeah, you're just not going to win too many games, and that's the difference between why we were like what?
Oh, definitely the 7-3 start.
That 7-3 start was because we were scoring people. We were moving. We were playing base to base. We were sack flying, whatever, you know,
bunting,
you know, just moving from position to position. There's
even a sack bunt in there. Yeah.
Like we're playing, as Joe Madden's calling it, 1985 baseball. And I'm liking that. I like that 1985.
I wasn't even born.
Dang. I was 3.
Oh, okay. So you wasn't like 10. It wasn't like you were a senior in high school or something like that. So you're good.
I'm only a few years older.
So there you go. But yeah, so unfortunately they dropped the game. They dropped the series. First series dropped by the Angels this year. And if I were to tell you at the beginning of this year that it would take them, what is this, like the fourth series or fifth series? I mean, you got the Chicago, you got Houston.
Chicago, Houston, Toronto, Royals.
So this is the fourth series.
If you would ask me which series we're dropping, I would or that we're not dropping
a series until the fourth one. Yeah.
Or no, and I also would have said of which one we were going to lose, it wouldn't be KC.
Kansas City. I mean,
they're sneaky.
They remind me a lot of the Angels, where they have guys like Salvador. Now, obviously, no one can match up to Trout, but like this was, I don't want to say it, but it was kind of the Angels B squad here. With all the injuries.
Yeah.
So, like, on that aspect, it kind of reminded me of Kansas City, where you had to go base to base. You had to go productive outs. You had to do all that stuff. Like, today, there was a situation where one guy gets on base. He steals second. No outs. Sack fly moves him to third. Sack fly again gets him home. There was no, you know, base hit.
Yeah, when you look at the back end, like – like you told me, you're like, oh, well, the front end's not doing too much either.
Yeah.
But when you have like Jack Mayfield,
yeah,
John Jay, and then you had, I think,
Rojas.
Suzuki was mixed in there, yeah. Rojas. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, it's just not, you know, not a lot. Like, Stassi in there. Stassi's been hot.
And it's funny that you missed
him. He's got a little pop. And then you felt a little bit more confident when you had Stassi.
Especially behind the plate.
And then even with Jay up, like in the, you know, the heart of the order, you have to move Pujols up to fill in the gap. You're just losing something there.
Yeah, it's really different when you have Pujols hitting 6th or 7th compared to when he's hitting 4th. You know what I mean? It just felt like it was different.
And he got some hits yesterday.
So yeah, so
wrong.
But yeah, but it wasn't. It wasn't. I don't know when you're
in that lineup was deep.
When you're in that 4th spot, hits are great, but I expect like extra bases. Like obviously you can't sit there and expect home runs every time, but like a double or something like that. Like, but Albert never. Yeah, did
even
that.
With like Fowler, you know, having a rough season, but he started picking it up and just having that veteran presence. And so you have Fowler gone, and so you're like, okay,
yeah,
just throwing Ligaris, and then. All right.
Yeah.
So now you're like third on your depth chart right there.
Right. So that's not great. Salvador Perez, again, I kind of mentioned it earlier, killed the Angels in this series with a home run today on Wednesday, but he went 8-for-12, 3 runs, 1 home run, 4 RBI. It's just, I mean, it just seems like there's a between him, who was it? Yermín Mercedes from Chicago, that started his major league season, like 8 for 8 or 9 for 9 or something. It always seems like there's like one guy that the Angels just struggle to get out. And Salvador Perez was definitely the guy this series. But all in all, the road trip, they split. So wasn't great, wasn't horrible. I think a lot of times if you could split on the road and win and come out positive on homestands, I think that's kind of what you're rooting for. And luckily for the Angels, they are coming back home off Thursday. And then Friday, they start a three-game series with the Twins that we will kind of preview a little bit later. But overall, Kansas City's behind us. We'll see them again later this year in Anaheim. But, you know, it was their first road trip, 500 for the road trip. I'll take it.
I mean, as of recent, there's been, I feel like there's been a season where we've never been three games above 500 four games of 500 or even above 500.
Above 500.
So
you lose that first game and then that's it.
So I know we were,
well, kind of like you mentioned though too, like
we're flying high.
Opening day alone was like crazy just because
just to win opening day. So I just, you know, I mean, there's been seasons where we're just struggling always to get to the 500 mark.
Oh yeah.
So even to be ahead this early is still, it's still a win.
Yeah, I mean, you'll take it. Twins coming to town, and then after that, the Texas Rangers coming to town, and you really got to take care of those type of teams to make a stand and make your presence known in MLB. But so again, that's the Kansas City preview. A little good, a little bad, a lot of kind of weird situations on some games. So we're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have our Curators Chronicles. Your outdoor experience could be better, clearly better. Kainon sunglasses are made exclusively with polarized lenses for optimal clarity. Using Japan Optics, Kainon lenses are clearer, lighter, and stronger than other lenses and are nearly impossible to scratch. With frames handcrafted in Italy, Kainon sunglasses elevate your experience outside with a degree of clarity beyond your wildest imagination. Use the exclusive code KNUN15 at Kainon.com to receive 15% off your first pair. That's KAENONCAST15, Kainon, clearly better. It's that time of the year again, and all eyes are now going to be on pro basketball and the start of the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline.ag has your betting action covered. In the NBA, the conference races are heating up as the teams prepare to make their push for the playoffs. And if baseball is your first love, like it is mine, BetOnline has you covered. If you love hockey, golf, MMA, and championship boxing, guess what? BetOnline has it all. Every sport, every game, every matchup. BetOnline has you covered for all the odds and real-time updates, and this is the place for all your sports betting needs. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to place and check in on all your favorite sports bets all the time. Head to the website or use your mobile device and bring home the game with BetOnline.
Let's go!
All right, players got to play and curators got to curate. I got to have a little entry tagline every time, whether it's cheesy or not. But this edition of the Curators Chronicles comes from an item that we've been sitting on the whole
time,
whole podcast, whole episode. And if you can't see this,
handful of games in the past.
Listen to this on wherever you get your podcast. But if you're watching live, we're sitting on some orange seats. And if you're not familiar with Angel Stadium or what we used to call Anaheim Stadium, or we used to call the Big Ed, or
Edison International Stadium, a lot of names. Yep.
Or any other adage or anecdote or whatever we want to attach to it. Angel Stadium went through a few different phases. But one thing that always personified the seating is the orange seat. And these were from the 1980s renovation where they brought in the LA Rams and they kind of made the full stadium. When Disney came in, what Disney did is they got rid of all these orange seats, and there was a huge pile out in the parking lot for miles and miles, probably not that far, but you could see all these piles of orange seats and you're like, what are they going to do with them? What they did with them is they sold them for $5 a seat. I said $5 a seat. And at that time I was only a kid and I didn't have $5. I mowed yards for $10 a thing. And I don't know why I didn't buy them. Right. I didn't have space.
There
had
you
a
go.
Bedroom in a parent's house, probably had like a bunk bed. Didn't have room for the orange seats. Fast forward years later when I created the man cave, fan cave at Halo Haven, wanted to come up on some of these seats, looked all over, went on Craigslist.
There you go.
Went on Craigslist, drove out to Anaheim, went into some lady's garage. She had 60 of these seats in her garage.
60?
60. It was insane. I said, where'd you get these at? She said, I bought them because I had an ice skating rink out in Anaheim. And this was the seating where parents would watch their kids play hockey or twirl or whatever it may be, right? So that's where we got these original seats right here. We have five of them inside the Haven. We got some plaques
that denote
genuine stadium seat from Anaheim.
1966 to 2020, I'm guessing.
No.
No, it says 1966 and it says -20.
Well, the stadium's still there, so.
Well, no, I'm saying, but these seats were there.
Yes.
Yeah, in 2020, what the hell is that 20 for then?
It's like 20 to, it could be whenever they tear the stadium down, 20, 30, 20, 22, something like that. Anyways, and then we also came up on two more seats that are actually in the rally bus. And then as far as stadium seats, I actually have a stadium seat from where the Phillies played back
in
1910 to 1940, Shibe Park. So if you want to create their ultimate fan experience, you do need stadium seats, because when you're watching a game from the seat in which your team played in, that was part of the stadium, part of the experience, there's nothing better.
Oh, no way.
Nothing better, right? Don't you feel like
it's awesome, too.
It's like 1985 all over.
No, what the cool part is, too, is that where we're sitting, it's you can see the TV perfectly in Halo Haven. You don't have to worry about it. It's that stadium seat kind of feel without actually being in the stadium.
Yeah, you can throw peanuts on the floor. I don't mind. We've done it. You're drinking beers.
Yeah.
They
spill maybe.
$0.50. Spill. We have AstroTurf on the ground. So
we really got to put that video together. Yeah, that's so for sure.
You don't have to drive home really. Maybe like a mile.
Yeah, there you go. And that's very far at all. And then especially if you have a wife that doesn't drink like me, you can just be like, oh yeah, you're driving home now.
Yeah. So no social distancing or nothing.
Yeah. Because we're vaccinated.
Yeah.
The Halo Haven is a proud podcast.
And, anyways, I have ringing in my ears after the second vaccine, but that's a different story.
Oh, shit. So that's been another episode of the Curators Chronicles.
Let's go!
And I want to thank Chris for another Curator's Chronicles. So one of the big stories this week was obviously the injuries. Ton of them going back to when they were in Florida. So I'm going to bring this up right now for everyone that's, again, watching on our YouTube page and Facebook and Twitter. So follow us on Halo_Haven, or the Twitter page is allangelspodcast@gmail.com. Again, or that's our email address. Sorry. That is our YouTube page is All Angels Podcast on YouTube. And you know, follow us, rate us, all that good stuff. But let's get to the injuries first. And obviously the big one, I don't even know if it's, I mean, it's big because it's a year long injury. And that's Dexter Fowler that happened out in Florida, like we mentioned, last week. So he's the big one just because of the fact that he is missing the year. But other than that, you have Anthony Rendon, Matt Stassi, Juan Lagares, Justin Upton. Rendon's out with a left groin, 10-day DIL. Stassi left the game. Yeah, he left the game right on, I believe it was Tuesday. Left thumb. He probably got jammed on a catch or something like that.
Yeah.
And then Juan Lagares left calf strain, 10-day DL. Justin Upton, back stiffness, day-to-day. He's been out for the last two games. They're going to kind of reevaluate, obviously, tomorrow and Friday, and hopefully he gets back. But he's not on the IL yet, and we'll see how that goes. But out of all those kind of injuries, which one – and I'm going to take Anthony Rendon out because, obviously, Anthony Rendon is the main guy when it comes to those. What do you think – or how do you feel about those injuries? And who do you think is the main one in that one, in those injuries?
I got to go Upton.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's kind of like the Angel way when it comes to announcing injuries, where it starts off like, oh, we're going to, you know, day to day.
Well, somebody mentioned that too.
Day to day. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, 10 day.
When Fowler happened, that's exactly how it kind of played out. And someone DM'd us on our Instagram. Oh, yeah. And he's like, oh, I hope the Angels are more upfront about it. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, oh, Fowler was, you know, it was a bruise that night. And then the next day, is a torn ACL. But to me, it's like, well, you're not going to know what it is right away, ACL or not. You are going to need an MRI. I mean, all these places have X-ray machines, so you know it's not broken, and that's what happened with Stassi. But you need an MRI to see the ligament part of it, and I'm guessing that's why they were kind of delayed the Fowler injury news and stuff like that.
Yeah, you feel like they're, you know, you need to be transparent because at the end of the day, we're going to find out the guy can't play. He can't play. And so it's right. going to turn on. But I think in the recent years, we've seen guys that the original report, they made it out to be like no big deal day to day. And then all of a sudden it just gets deeper and deeper into the season. Looking back, like, who was the third baseman we had? The guy that, you know, had the donkey.
Oh, is that Cozart?
Cozart.
Yeah.
Right? Said, you knew exactly who I was talking about.
Donkey.
Cozart was a guy that they're like, oh, you know, he's just out a few games. And then it's like a season. It's another half of the season. Guy barely played at all.
Right.
And I felt like the Angels are notorious for that. And so I understand like the frustration and the lack of transparency. It's a bruise. Now it's a torn ACL and stuff like that. But
right.
I don't know. I say J-Up just because he has.
He was actually doing really well.
Injury prone in the past. He's feeling healthy and he's doing well. He's just that added presence in that lineup. And then you take him out, you take Rendon out. And like you said,
Rendon's huge, yeah.
That meat of the order shrinks. And you felt that shrink when Pujols has to be fourth rather than sixth because two of those dudes are out. And so I think I'm saying. Justin Upton for sure.
Yeah, I think Upton too is going to be a huge one. Dexter Fowler, it sucks because he was it's a year long injury with a torn ACL, but I don't think he production wise he was going to matter a whole lot.
I think it's just the veteran leadership that we're going to miss, and that's huge.
That was huge. Yeah,
if you want to put a WAR number on that veteran leadership,
I don't know if you can.
Is there a WAR on that?
I don't know if you can.
I don't know. You guys are all about these modern statistics.
Oh, you kids nowadays!
Yeah. All you kids talking about that. I'm going to put a WAR number on leadership.
Right. Exactly.
I think he's like a plus 2.5 WAR off.
There you go. Didn't you? Weren't you when Madden was hired? Didn't you put a WAR
plus four?
Yeah, Madden was plus a four. Was a four WAR as a manager.
That. I stand behind.
So that. I mean, he's going great right now. So we'll see what happens. But some of the corresponding moves, obviously, because of these guys going down, was Anthony Benboom as a catcher, Jack Mayfield as a kind of like a utility second baseman, and then John Jay out in the outfield. But you know, Jack Mayfield has been optioned back to the alt site. And then two, something, I don't know if this was the deal last year also or not, because I didn't pay too much attention about it. But when you're on the road, you can only call up the guys that are at or are your taxi squad. Meaning these are a lot of they use everyone in the taxi squad got called up. So even if they wanted to bring up Taylor Ward, Joe Adell, like they couldn't just because of the fact that they weren't on the taxi squad. So it looks like back in Anaheim, you kind of have more of a free range about who you get brought or who you can bring up at certain times. So like I mentioned, Jack Mayfield got optioned. We'll see how that plays out. If Ward comes up or if Renjifo comes up, you know, both can play certain infield positions.
Yeah, because that makes a whole lot of sense, because like the natural call up, I would have said, would have been Taylor Ward. Throw him out third base, play third base,
or you play outfield.
Play outfield, you play catcher.
Well, because because we said,
I mean, like
Lagares got hurt, Upton was hurt. Those are two of your outfielders
there. Ward was solid last year's catcher, and Madden is high on Ward.
He has been, last year he was super high on Ward. So we'll see how that plays out coming into this again home series with the Twins. But Lagares is big too, because of the fact that he's that backup guy with a really good defensive glove. And yeah, he had a really good spring training too. So now you're putting guys out there that don't play outfield. Like obviously Jared Walsh was out there. You keep him in there for his bat. Jose Rojas gets his first hit today. Congratulations.
Oh, okay.
So great for him. He breaks like 0 for, I think it was 0 for 18 or 0 for 19.
Yeah.
So that's not great.
Yep.
But those are some of the guys that were playing outfield. And then you just cannot, you know, I don't know. It just seems like there was that hole in the lineup, like you mentioned, in the back end of it because of the guys that were missing.
Yeah, it was a triple-A lineup in the back.
So hopefully these guys get back sooner rather than later. With Anthony Rendon, they said it was going to be a 10-day thing. Like they kind of felt confident in that after the 10 days, he's going to come back and be fine, which, you know, you hope as an Angel fan. Stassi was going to be a little bit longer. They were thinking more like 14 to 16 days with him. Lagares, I haven't heard anything about him, how severe or non-severe it is, but
and you have to think, like, even though Rendon hasn't been producing, just having him bat behind Trout, like,
oh, that adds a whole different protection. Well, like you mentioned too,
yeah, like the guy might be batting, you know, 200 or less, but just knowing that he's there and he has the potential and the aptitude to actually, you know, perform, it's a scary thing. So without that, they're in the protection.
No, you're absolutely right. That is something that is the lineup needs to be stretched out, because when this lineup is on full go, it's probably like what, top five? I honestly think it'll be like top five in Major League if
top three.
If it's 100% healthy and 100% firing on all cylinders. I mean, you talk about Fletcher again. If everything's going good, Fletcher's going to get on base. Then you have Ohtani. I mean, he might just clear the bases right there before Trout even gets up, the way he's batting. Hopefully the lineup kind of gets healthy. Rendon comes back right away. And I think that alone will make a huge difference as long as Upton doesn't get on that injured list. I think that's a big question, and we'll see how that goes going into, again, coming into Anaheim, playing the Twins this coming weekend. So, kind of like I mentioned too, the Twins are the team coming into town for the Angels, and they have had some troubles recently. They had a couple doubleheaders with the Red Sox. They do play tomorrow, but if you look at their pitching lineup, you do miss their top three guys. I feel that's Michael Pineda, Kenta Maeda, and then Jose Barrios, in whatever order you want to put them, but they are going to miss him because Haney's pitching Friday night. That one's only kind of weird, though, because they haven't announced the pitcher yet, but I know Jose Barrios is pitching tomorrow. Kenta Maeda and Michael Pineda pitch today on a doubleheader, so you would think that they definitely wouldn't pitch that opening day, but again, Haney pitches Friday. Saturday, you got Jose Quintana against old friend, and I think you even met his wife. Do you know who I'm talking
about?
Bingo.
He's on the Twins?
Exactly what I said when I saw that.
I felt stupid saying that, but I'm like, he's on the Twins?
He's on the Twins. Yeah. So him and Jose Quintana are pitching Saturday, 6 o'clock start, 5:30 or 6:30, sorry, on Friday. I will be at that game.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. So slide into the DMs, maybe. Yeah.
Thanks for the invite.
Cool. Talk to the wife. She organizes all that.
Going back to Shoemaker, I always rooted for Shoemaker. He was.
I think a lot of people did,
He wasn't a top prospect by any means.
He was like one of those like 28, 29-year-old rookies when he came with the Angels.
Yeah, he broke in, had a few good seasons.
But no, wasn't his first season the 14 season?
Yeah.
And he was like a major reason why the Angels did as well, because he was a guy that – like you mentioned, you brought in, he's like, oh, he'll be a fifth starter. Maybe he'll be like a back and forth guy. And then he asked, I think he won like 14 games that year.
Yeah, had a really strong season. If you know anything about Halo Haven, we do a lot of parking lot stuff, giveaways.
One day we'll be back at that. One day we'll be back at that.
Right? Rally beads. So we have players and we cut out their face. So we did one to Shoemaker. His wife actually slid into the DM, met up with her in the stadium, had no idea. And she has a Shoemaker rally bead somewhere at home, but
and she actually had a picture of it too.
Yeah, so that was kind of our claim to fame at the beginning. I think Alexis Richards has rally beads
Jared Richards, which is funny that you mentioned that Garrett Richards is actually pitching against the Twins tomorrow, and it kind of brings it all full circle. So like we mentioned, Shoemaker is pitching Saturday against Jose Quintana. Sunday we got Jay Happ against Alex Cobb, the number two pitcher.
I'm a Cobb, man. I'm loving this guy.
And that's going to be a 1 o'clock start. That should be, I mean, 3-game series. Obviously, you don't know who's pitching tomorrow. Like I mentioned, they have, as we record this on, Wednesday night? They haven't yet mentioned who's going to pitch for the Twins on Friday, but other than that, I kind of like our matchups this weekend. Jose Quintana is weird, and I mentioned on the last podcast, if that double play happened, the interference call, and he gets out of that inning should have been over by a double play call.
It's a completely different game.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, how do you know what it would have been if
you saw him, like you saw him in the dugout feeling defeated.
Right.
If he gets, and guys are coming up and they're patting him on the back. And
like, it's like, okay.
Dude, wasn't like the score. Was it indicative of, you know, what truly happened?
No.
I felt like he had a much better performance rather than, I think he gave up 7 earned. And it just wasn't that. And so I think five earned 7.
Yeah.
And I think this outing right now, if he gets lit up, then okay.
Yeah. Then you might.
Then we start.
Yeah. Questioning, I would love to see that again. You had that. That was a game where it was the long delay.
Yeah.
You don't know, you know, what kind of headspace he's in. And then,
he's coming back off his first performance, which
wasn't great.
Not stellar. Right. So he's trying to prove.
Yeah.
Something.
I don't know. I don't know if it would have been better. I don't know if it'd been the same, but if you get that double play call, and as Angel fans, you will see that and you can understand why, or not why, but yeah, why it should have been called a double play and getting out of the inning.
I don't know what happened. I think of the best word for this was I was bewildered. I think I stepped away. We were watching the game.
Didn't Matt say that?
I think I went and got like a slice of pizza and it came back and I'm like, what happened? I swear the umpire with the headset came out and showed like an out. I had no idea what happened. And then everything escalated very quickly.
Yeah, there you go.
Anchorman.
Hey, I'm going to say insert Anchorman meme here.
This escalated very quickly.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to be really interested to see how, again, Quintana does this time out.
Sure.
Hopefully he can turn it around. Hopefully he has a little bit more luck on his side, because it definitely wasn't on his side out in Florida. So now kind of moving forward, another guy that won't be there that is a familiar face is this guy right here, Andrelton Simmons. As of today, he got put on the COVID-19 list. You know, obviously, I forgot he was on the Twins. I'm going to be completely honest until this came across. If you were at the game, let's just say Friday, and he was playing, are you, and they announce his name, like, you know how you've been to Angel games, they announce the visiting team lineup just as much as they announce the home team lineup. Would you be giving him an ovation? Would you be clapping? Would you be like, you know, oh, thank you, Simba? Or were you just playing him off like, oh, he's another guy?
I'm giving him a golf clap.
So nothing too serious.
I'm not giving him like a nothing. I'm acknowledging that he played for the team, but I'm giving him a golf clap.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way.
Like, he's not a legend. It's not like a guy like Jared Weaver went to the Padres for like a season or half a season, comes back to Anaheim. Say he came back to Anaheim.
Yeah, that'd be different. Yep.
I'm giving him a standing ovation.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. Has a no hitter with the Angels.
Yeah, you can totally understand. Simba gave us, I don't know, top of my head,
Probably four really good years. Four really good years. Yeah. The last 2 years were injuries and stuff like that. Yeah.
But it's not like he's not a franchise player, not an Angels Hall of Famer,
no,
or anything like that. So, you know, I respect what he did for
the. It was like a quickie, you know. He was there. He was great, and then he kind of just moved on, kind of
faded away.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That's what I'm giving him.
Yeah, I mean that makes complete sense too because I'm in the same boat, golfer,
right?
Yeah, golf.
You watch the Masters?
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Hideki Masayama.
Yeah.
You know, probably they said that probably the second biggest sports star in Japan right now.
Ohtani.
Behind Ohtani. Yep. Active, I should say, you know. Yeah. So I love that, and I'm actually going to play golf this Sunday before the game. So there you go. But yeah, Twins right now, again, they play tomorrow, but they're 5-7. They're two games below 500. But, you know, they have a couple guys in that lineup that can mash with Donaldson coming back. He's going to – from, you know, last year he had a really good year. Obviously, he's up in age, and he's probably not – what he was, A's Donaldson, but he can definitely produce. He can definitely do some things with the bat, and it'd be really interesting to see how he does with the Angels. And just, I don't know, maybe it's just because of the last couple of series, I get kind of PTSD as far as someone in that lineup is going to, you know, kill us. And if it's someone like Donaldson who has that kind of power, we kind of got lucky that Perez was A, slow, so even when he got hit, it was a single, and B, didn't have a ton of pop, so it was, you know, not a huge deal. Let's see who else is in their lineup. Byron Buxton too is also one of those guys that is producing a ton this year that can give the fits for the Angels, so we'll see how that plays out this weekend. We'll have another podcast Sunday night, obviously, and talk about this. But until then, we have a couple questions on our Instagram. Again, that's Halo_Haven at I posted something on our – and then as Johnny joins us right now in the stadium seats. There we go. We got them all settled in. First question says, when will David Fletcher make – his first all-star team?
We talked about this.
Yeah.
You told me that question. I'm like, I don't know when anybody's going to make anything. Like, if 2020 didn't tell us anything, yeah. I have no idea what's going on at all, any time of any day. But if I had to guess, I don't know. Maybe this year.
Yeah, hopefully it's this year. I mean, he's off to a little slow start. He's off to obviously not the start a lot of people want to. I think at this point last year, like the first like 10 or 12 games into the season, he was like batting above 400 to a point to where I was like, I was texting friends and stuff like that where I was just kind of messing around like, oh, Fletcher, that's it. Fletcher's going to bat over 400 this year in a shortened season. And he struggled a little bit this year. I hope it is this year that he gets an all-star bid. But I think the lack of the big sexy numbers, like the home runs, extra base hits, all that stuff.
Then, you got West Coast market. Do I even know who David Fletcher? Who? David Fletcher?
Yeah.
On the East Coast? I don't know who he is. There's only a few things that are guaranteed in life. Death, taxes, Mike Trout making the All-Star game, and Ken Griffey Jr. making the All-Star game.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I mentioned. The only guy right now that's guaranteed to make an All-Star game regardless of what happens is
Mike Trout. Can hit 5 home runs before the All-Star break, he's making the All-Star game.
And then too, like, I think Anthony Rendon has a really good chance of making the All-Star team just because part of it's his reputation, and you know he's going to produce. Hopefully he gets back from this injury and it's not a big deal, and yeah, he definitely will be in that kind of All-Star team talk. But Fletcher, I mean, he's going to have to kind of turn it around right now and get his average way up, because you're going to look at his RBIs, you're going to look at his home runs, and they're not going to be really high because of his leadoff status and because of he's not a power guy. He's not a power guy, and the Angels don't ask him to be a power guy. Hopefully he does. Hopefully the baseball people that make that kind of decision also, like on the reserves, can see that and bring him in. But also, too, the second part of that question is how much longer do we have Upton? And the question and the answer is at the end of next year. So obviously at the end of the 2021 season, he's still here. Pujols comes off the books, but then at the end of 2022, that's when Upton also comes off the books. Question from our live stream on Facebook, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter asks, thoughts on bringing Cole Calhoun back? Do you have any thoughts? I'm guessing that means he's probably going to be a free agent at the end of this year.
Yeah, I don't know what that contract's like. But yeah, Cole brought a little spark. Like we talk about Tyler Skaggs Foundation. The motto is bring the spark.
Right.
Cole Calhoun brought it in right field. Something we're missing. His average over the last few years
hasn't been great.
It was in decline, but his home runs, like he started off terrible, I think the last year for us, but then he was always putting up over 20 home runs, pretty consistent. And then just that throwing arm,
electric plays out there, that was going to happen.
Yeah. And then he had like some, you know, relationship with Trout. They were friends and you could just feel that. And we're missing that. And, you know, like in retrospect, like pulling myself out from the situation, like the 20,000, I was in the sky looking down on it. Yeah. Putting Calhoun back in there. I don't know. I kind of like that.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be cool,
but like, I wouldn't want to give up a lot for it.
I just think at this point,
trade.
So if he comes, let's say next year, I don't know his contract status, but let's just say, for example, he's a free agent at the end of this year. And then the Angels sign him. It's probably going to be for like a fourth outfielder because you would think at some point this year, once minor league baseball and all that stuff starts going at the beginning of May, Joe's going to get at bats. Joe's going to be able to.
And it's going to get some at bats.
Right. So you would think by the time at this point next year, one of those guys, whether it be Brandon or Joe, it's going to be seriously competing for that right field spot. Now, maybe, you know, you bring Cole back and he can be that fifth outfielder, which is great, but I don't know if he wants to do that.
And then, like, you really can't blame the Angels. Like, when they let Cole walk, it's because, like, he wanted – I forgot what the contract was. They just didn't want to pay him that – I think it was like $16 million.
Right.
And you got to understand it from a business perspective. Like, just wasn't worth it.
No, you're right.
Sign a guy because like Juan Nicaris or Dexter Fowler. I don't know what those contracts were, but just nothing in the neighborhood of Cole.
Yeah, Cole's playing for $8 million this year. Next year, he has a team option. So we'll see how he does. The team can't pick up that option and pay him $9 million, but I mean, let's just say for example they don't pick it up, that probably means he doesn't have a great year, and that probably means he's not contributing at a big clip. And I think if they bring him back, it would be just for just be like that fourth outfielder, unless he wants to go out there and try to maybe to do some more damage somewhere else. I don't know, but I don't know. I always like Cole. Cole was a good player. And like you mentioned, he had a certain thing about him that fans love.
Yeah, he had that it factor. He had that charisma.
Definitely.
He played the game right.
So the last question, because we're running a little long on time, is do they have a chance in the wild card? I'm guessing they mean the Angels. I think, honestly.
Who is this they person? I've been trying to find they my whole life.
They're the Angels. Do they, the Angels, have a chance in the wild card?
Of course. Every year I'm going to say yes. Every year. But especially this year, I'm going to preface it with that. We have a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance?
Like, honestly, if we don't win the division, I don't know what to say. Like, if you look at payroll, just alone, we're top five. Like, if, I don't know.
I honestly think they have a better chance of winning the division than winning the wild card, just because of the fact of, and you might have saw it, you might have not. We posted it on our Instagram. There's a bunch of guys on the Houston Astros that are going to the IL, like big name guys, like Bregman, Altuve, Alvarez. That's the names that pop up off the top of my head. But if they struggle, they're on the IL, and they haven't said why, but. Rumor has it that it's COVID related. So if they miss 2 weeks or whatever, and I asked somebody, well, how long does that last? Like, the COVID IL is a different situation than the regular IL. There's not a time frame set like the 60-day or the 10-day. It's just whenever they pass the right amount of tests. So I think it's 2 tests they need to take. They need to obviously come up negative both times. But it can be something as quick as 2 days, or it can be something as long as like 2 weeks. So if they're out for 2 weeks – A, that helps the Angels, and B, that obviously will help the Angels not only when they play, but also in the standings, because they're probably going to lose a couple games that they weren't originally going to lose.
Yeah, and you look at it, if you had to say what's the weakest division in baseball, I would almost have to say the AL West. And I know that, you know, that kind of sucks.
It's funny.
But if you look at, like, regression, like, the A's aren't as strong.
Right.
Astros are not as strong.
Right.
And
even though the Oakland has won 4 in a row, but that's okay.
That's all right.
Nobody cares.
They start off slow.
They start off real slow.
Yeah. Oakland's always going to be there.
Yeah.
Rangers suck.
Rangers aren't going to be. Yeah. I don't think
Mariners are decent right now, but they'll regress.
Yeah. We'll see.
But yeah. But if you cannot win the West, especially this year with what we have going on, I don't just say.
Yeah, so, I mean, your top contenders for the wild card is probably going to be, like you mentioned, I still think Oakland's going to be sniffing around there. Boston is playing really well, and they actually have the best record in the AL right now. Toronto, I think, will be sniffing around there. New York will be sniffing around there if they don't win the division. Kansas City and Cleveland, well, I mean, you have Cleveland and Chicago that I think are going to be in the Central. Those two teams that are going to – one of those – obviously, one
American League Central is tough.
Obviously, one of those teams is going to win the division. I think the other one, whether it's Cleveland or Chicago, are going to be the other team.
Yeah.
Minnesota's in last place in that division, but I think they're going to have something to say about it before the end. It's just – I don't know. I think they are better suited to take care of business in the division than the wild card. Wild card, there's so many teams, and now without the extended playoffs – It seems harder to get that wild card spot than before. So that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the All Angels podcast. Like I mentioned before, we will be back Sunday to review the Twin Series 3-game set at Angel Stadium. So look for it around like 6-7 o'clock. I think I have it right. I'm thinking right now 6 o'clock on Sunday. We'll talk about that. We'll get ready for the Texas series. If you subscribe to this podcast, thank you. But if you're an iOS user, Apple podcast user, please rate and review. Again, it helps us spread the word with this podcast and help other Angel fans find the podcast. And it's just really cool to see good reviews.
I think Daniel mentioned last time that we are the number one podcast.
I think podcast. I have no analytics behind it. I just feel like we are.
I thought you had analytics.
No, man. No numbers. No numbers.
Yeah, we're the number one fan-driven podcast. This is something we do not get paid
for. I'm gonna hit up everybody that has a podcast and be like, hey, so what are your downloads per month?
Exactly. So we do not get paid for this. We're fans first, and we do this based out of our love for the team. There's no money. There's nothing like that. You know. We'll promote your business, so.
Yeah, we will promote the show.
We'll promote your business.
There's no money, but there's a bunch of giveaways that we don't mind.
If you want to send some free shirts and stuff, shout out to Rake Baseball some shirts.
Shout out to Stance.
Stance
hooked us up at the end of last. Oh no, not 19, right? Was it the end of the 19 season?
Stance.
2019
yeah,
season.
Yeah, we're kind of like influencers, I guess. Maybe. Shout out to Seagram's.
At the Curators Chronicles.
I drink it and they pay me for it.
Who's that?
No, shut up. It's like a, you know, alluding to a rap song. But anyways.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah.
So we're easily bought.
We are cheap. Yeah. We are cheap and affordable.
Yeah.
In a lot of different ways. So, have a question, comment, concern, or anything like that about the podcast, you can always reach us at our social media pages at Halo Haven.
A concern?
I mean, you know, maybe you're concerned about the lighting. I don't know. Chris is our light. Okay. Our light. All right. Specialist. We got lighting. Chris is our light.
There's
specialist.
No green screens. This is authentic, man. There is. We're authentic as it can be right now.
So. Exactly. We are in Halo Haven, but always DMs are always open on our Twitter, on our Instagram. It is Halo_Haven or our email at angels allangelspodcast@gmail.com. Again, follow us on our Facebook, Halo Haven, our YouTube, All Angels Podcast, and our, like I mentioned, our Twitter, Halo_Haven. That's how you can watch our live streams of this podcast, and hopefully down the line we'll get more interviews. We have a bunch of interviews already from the off season. That's the one thing about the players. Once you get into the season, it's kind of hard to get them
on here. I get it for sure.
Right. But you can go back and watch interviews with Chris Rodriguez, or you can go back even further and just strictly podcast form. Chris Rodriguez, Brandon Marsh. We got Jared Walsh. We got a bunch of these guys that are playing right now or coming up pretty soon. So that's a lot of fun. So definitely check us out. iOS, rate and review, subscribe, rate and review, Spotify. Thank you guys also. We see the numbers there and we really appreciate it. So I am Daniel Garcia. That is
Chris Securitier Johnson.
And this has been another edition of the All Angels Podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.